Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who always makes sure that his bells are not clanging together. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Here we go. Final recap Thursday interview of the season. We've got a good one. We're going to talk with Jeremy and Val Collins tonight on the podcast. Excited and waiting all season to get to this one. Very excited to catch up with Jeremy and Val. They'll be on the line with me here in a moment. Let me just talk about what's up already on robhasthewebsite.com. Survivor Know-It-Alls had the last Know-It-Alls of the season with Steven. I'll be with Dominic and Chrissy Hotbeck, Dominic Abate, not my son, after the finale. It's way after my son's bedtime. Next Wednesday night, we'll be live to talk about everything going on with the last two runners-up from Survivor. Very excited about that one. Had a great interview with Christian this morning. I thought he was really, really engaging, you know, as you might expect, talking about everything going on in the game. I thought he did a good job of really looking back at some of the things that could have gone one way or another. And then had Kellen Bechtold on the This Week in Survivor History Quiz. And then we'll get ready for Mike Bloom on the Big Feedback Show coming up at the end of the season. We'll have a lot of fun with Mike. Make sure you get your questions in. I'm going to record with Mike Bloom on Saturday. So if you're listening to this on Friday, you got the whole day on Friday to get your questions in. And then before we bring in Jeremy and Val, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Our friends over at the Hunt a Killer game. Now, there's one thing that I've learned. Oh, there's a couple of things that I've learned over the many years I've done Rob's a Podcast, that people that love Survivor and reality TV also seem to really enjoy escape rooms. And what Hunt a Killer does is bring you the escape room experience from the comfort of your own home. And don't worry, there's no real killer. No one is being killed or murdered, because that would not be any fun whatsoever. But what the Hunt a Killer game is a series, a 6-month game where you get a box a month in the mail with all the clues you need for the next chapter of the experience. It's really fun. I've been playing it here. It's a monthly subscription where you are a detective immersed in a murder mystery. And each month you get the box that has photos, evidence, the motive and suspect information that you'll need so you can solve the crime. It's so interactive and convincing that it looks and feels real. I've got like a file folder and a pocket watch and like a typewritten letter that I'm going over and over again. It's really fun to play either by yourself or on a date night or a game night with friends. You can even join the online community working with other people who are at the same point in the story as you. Over 60,000 people have joined the Hunt a Killer online community, and they have over 1,000 five-star customer reviews. So go ahead and give the Hunt a Killer game a try, especially if you have some downtime over this holiday season. Go to huntakiller.com/Rob to get 10% off the first box. They only accept 200 members a day, so take advantage of this offer. huntakiller.com/Rob for 10% off your first box. That's at huntakiller.com/Rob. See if you have what it takes to get in the mind of a serial killer and solve the mystery. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to bring in our guests here for this edition of the podcast. Of course, we met them, and was it 4 years ago now in Survivor San Juan del Sur when they came out together as a couple? Then, of course, Jeremy came back and won in Survivor Second Chances. Please welcome Jeremy and Val Collins. Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I'm very excited to have Jeremy and Val here to talk about everything that's going on. How are you guys doing?
Really good. Really good.
Yeah, good. Really good. Busy, but good.
Yes. I know Jeremy is very excited about everything that's going on in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League.
Very excited.
Yes. Yes. Val, are you invested in this league?
I'm a fantasy football widow until about February, you know, early February.
But do you have your sights set on any prize money?
Hey, there's no prize money involved in this.
I don't even pay attention to it anymore. Okay. Because once your husband starts doing about 6 different leagues and there's multiple computer screens and iPads surrounded around.
He works hard. He works hard.
Sunday, it's a little bit ridiculous.
This is what she does. So I'll get in my league and then she'll if I do bad in one, she's like, see, I told you, you should have took this guy. You should have done this. I'm like, you don't help me in any of the leagues, but as soon as I do bad in one, you have all the answers.
That's not true. You tend not to listen, and you think that I don't understand sometimes your strategy or lack of strategy when it comes to fantasy football.
My strategy is to win, and right now I'm beating Rob Cesarino 6-0.
It's a sad story.
We have live scoring updates right now.
Now, do you guys typically watch Survivor together, or do you have to watch it separately because of your schedules?
I try to wait for her. Sometimes
that's a lie, Rob.
What about last episode? I try to wait for you.
One episode, but there's like two episodes left. Are you serious?
Okay, so let's get down to the nitty gritty. So I'll wait for her, and when I don't wait for her, she has a problem with it. But then I'll go to work and be gone for work for 2 or 3 days, and when I come back, she's like, "Oh yeah, I already watched that."
2 or 3 days, Rob. I mean, seriously, who waits 2 or 3 days? All the spoilers are out by then, so I have to watch it.
Oh, jeez.
Have either of you ever watched the episode and pretended that you haven't seen it before, or you're not?
Rob, that's very dishonest. Yeah. I would never do that.
Rob, he does it all the time.
That's horrible.
All the time.
With Survivor or with other shows, too?
With everything, because
I
say, oh, you know, there's couples out there that watch shows together. We should like pick a show, and then like Game of Thrones. Okay, we were in Ponderosa. You know, people were obsessed with it and talking about it. So I said, Jeremy, oh, we should watch Game of Thrones. Yeah, all right, let's watch it. He watched the whole season and like 2 weeks. I mean, watched every season in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm still on episode one.
Okay.
I couldn't wait till I can't wait that long. That's crazy.
See how hypocritical that is?
He'd still be on episode one, Val. I mean, come on.
And I would watch it again if she wants, because Game of Thrones is unbelievable. I'll watch it five times. I don't care.
All right. Well, this has been an unbelievable season of Survivor as well. David versus Goliath. Are you guys enjoying it as much as we have been enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I'm actually liking the editing in mm-hmm. this season a lot too.
Yeah.
I think the characters and everything. I think it's awesome. I think the gameplay is awesome. It's really, really good.
Okay. This week we saw Christian end up going out. Were you guys Christian fans?
I was. I didn't think he was going to win it because I didn't think they were going to let him get to the end, but I am a Christian fan. I think he's another fishback. You know, I like these nerds.
I don't like how you'd make fishback seem like he's so interchangeable with so many people. I think that he's pretty unique, and I don't think he's fishback at all.
Well, I don't know. They even call themselves fishback. He even said it was Davey is me, and he's fishback.
Well, I disagree.
So even they said it.
Yeah,
I'm not the only one.
Well, let me ask you, Christian and Davey ended up being, I felt like that they had like a pretty good bond towards the end of it. And at one point it seemed like that Davey and Nick were tighter, but then Davey and Nick were both talking about voting each other out in this episode. And earlier in the season, we saw Davey play the idol on Christian in the same way that you played the idol on Steven. And then I wondered after that, I thought that maybe Davey felt more like, hey, you know, everybody's afraid of bringing Christian to the end. I would love to take Christian to the end, because if I got there with him, it's sort of like I have that over him, where even if people want to vote for him, they think he did a good job, that I can say, hey, I saved this guy. I brought him here. And because of that, then I will be able to beat him no matter what the jury thinks of him.
Is that
the real thing?
I agree with that. I think that's the only thing is I remember Fishback said, oh, I can't go to the end with you now. You know what I mean? So that's the only problem. Like, would Christian take Davey? You know, that's the only problem. Like, maybe he would try to figure out a way to get him out. But that's another thing. So now if Christian takes Davey out, how bad does that make Christian look? Christian will not win for taking out Davey.
I don't know if Davey was thinking about that early on about saving Christian and taking him necessarily to the end. I think that he just was trying to possibly show some loyalty. And I think earlier on, I mean, they just started talking about the voting blocks that we've seen on camera, but I think that it probably was something that was being discussed earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Did Davey say that? Do you know that, Robbie?
He didn't say that. It's something I'd like to ask Davey, you know, if I have the opportunity to talk to him eventually, and hopefully we will. But I think that it's sort of changed the way I look at this, where I feel like, you know, it's like a good thing to have the idol played on you, because then I think it makes that person not only, you know, you're not only safe, but then I think then people said, like, I got to take this person to the end because I'm invested in this, you know, keeping this person around. And yeah, it makes you really feel like that you've it's like a sunk cost thing where you've already put your idol into this person. Now you're really invested in wanting to take them as far as you can.
I'm not that invested into it. Like if you use your idol on someone and it works one time, that's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you can go to the end with that person, you have one up on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it works. I think that it would work towards Davey's advantage. I don't think it necessarily worked at Christian's advantage to say that he would keep Davey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
felt like that Davey really bent over backwards then to try to save Christian last week when Gabby started coming for him, where that Davey felt like, you know, they came to Davey with a final four last week and he's like, I don't know about this. And then he went and told Christian, hey, everybody's out to get you. You better play your idol tonight. And it seemed like that he did not want to let Christian go when Gabby was coming for him then.
I think that that's more about, oh, I have someone that obviously trusts me now, so I can keep someone that trusts me in the game longer than anybody else. You know, like if I play an idol on you, you're gonna trust me now. We're bonded. Mm-hmm. I remember when I played for Fishback. Fishback was like, I remember looking in his face, and he was like, he said, "What did he say?" He said, "What out till the end or something like we're good till the end or something like that." And I'm like, I thought we were already good to the end. You know what I mean? Like,
also, it changed. It is like the way that he was surprised changed the way that you're like, well, like I thought we were already on this level.
Yeah, you know.
Like he was like surprised and saying like wow, I can't believe you would do this for me. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that. now. Do you guys feel like that the Davids have really blown this, where they got it to the point where they had the advantage, and now we've seen back to back where Carl, then Gabby, and now Christian have gone out? And that, do you feel like, is there any way that we could see either Davey or Nick come out of this thing?
I don't think so. I think they did. I think they blew it. And
blew it.
I think so. And
wait, have we talked about who you think's going to win this whole thing?
Not since the last episode.
Yeah. So who do you think?
So, all right. So early on,
this is a different approach than what I've heard in the last
early on
2 weeks.
I said, I thought it was early on. I thought it was Angelina.
No.
Early on, I thought it was her. And I don't think it is her anymore, but I think she's going to the end. But I'm sticking with my theme. I think it's it's going to be a woman winner this year.
Okay.
And I don't know, but I'm going to go with, what's her name? The tall one. What's her name?
Allison.
Allison. I'm going to go with her.
Okay.
Okay. So I do think Davey's going to pull it out. I think he's going to be at the end with Allison, and if this three, Angelina. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Angelina goes to the end and doesn't get any votes.
No, I don't even know if she's going to. I mean, I think she could go to the end, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's out next, because her behavior is actually irrational, more irrational than mine. And my behavior was pretty irrational. I don't even like, just being introspective here. I mean, some of the things that she says in her is is this late in the game. Mm-hmm. She'd be a little bit more composed, but she's playing tight and then she's playing loose and then she's playing tight and then she's playing loose. So I don't know. But the whole thing with like throwing the card about the rice and was like I was that feeling when you're like embarrassed for you. It made me think of how my family must have felt like, what? Two idols? Are you crazy? Like, I just I was feeling for her the whole time, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't say it. And she did.
Yeah, Nick was telling people that he had two idols last night, so it's not crazy.
Why did he do that?
Well, you know,
because he wanted to see if they're what they were going to do with he what the reaction was.
You know, I'm sorry to bring that up. I want to come back to that, but let's stick with Angelina. I'm sorry to drag you guys all over the place.
Because
I want to talk to you guys about that. You guys played in Survivor San Juan del Sur, and you guys saw some expert negotiating in that season. you guys got to see, was it Drew who negotiated for a new flint from Jeff?
Yes.
And then
it wasn't only Drew.
Yeah. And then Reed also negotiated for more rice, right?
Yeah. And so, John was doing a lot of negotiating.
Yeah, there was a lot of negotiating going on.
A lot of millennial power right there.
Yes. Yes. And so did that change the way that people looked at those players that made those negotiations with Jeff, Jeremy?
I mean, I don't know. I think if you watch the show, if you watch our first season and saw those negotiating, you would look at that and say, that's ridiculous. Why did they do that? So I don't understand why people will come on and do it again. Like, it's not a good look. Mm-hmm. Don't go begging Jeff for anything.
Yeah. Although I would say that Angelina got off pretty easy in that she just had to sit out of that one challenge if I remember correctly, that Reed traded like all of your stuff to get more rice.
Everything. And we had literally hours till the merge. Like, we had like less than 24 hours. Yeah, well, come on, you guys.
Didn't you guys win a reward then right after that?
Yes, it was so ridiculous, Rob. I was so pissed. I was so pissed. I'm like, why are y'all so happy, man? Like, they were so happy. He took all our stuff. I felt like we got robbed.
He dragged it all away. Yeah, I mean, but I wonder if you get ripped off more if you do these negotiations, because those were all before the merge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he kind of he came to camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you kind of spring it on him at Drew sprung it on him, we were at the, the whole what do they call it? I can't even remember. It was like the Lion's Den or whatever they called it. I don't remember what they called it.
Yeah. Where
we had the challenges.
You guys had the duels that were instead of the reward challenges.
Yeah. And I think he only did he say no? Yeah, I think he just shut us down then. He was like, no, you get out of here. You're good. Because he was trying to give it back. That's what it was. So but I think if you spring it on him, you get off a little easier than if you.
Yeah. If I recall, I think it was it that they had to negotiate to get the flint and then they found the old flint and then they tried to negotiate to get the stuff back.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah. And then once this Pandora's box of negotiation gets open, then then ultimately, it's hard to close it.
Yeah. but don't give Jeff all that power. Jeff has enough power in this game. Like, geez, this is our story. We're supposed to control all this. Don't let him take over and take all our stuff.
Yeah. Jeez. But if if you're the other players that are there and you have no rice, that is it a good move to, push Angelina to be the person to say, like, why don't you go ask him?
Did they do that? I don't remember that.
Well, I think
she just volunteered.
She volunteered, but I think that a lot of the other people were probably like, okay, well, better you than me. If it works, we get to eat. If not, then you'll be the person who's hung out to dry.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to volunteer for anything.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to Nick and last night where we saw where he was telling people he made the fake idol, but then he found it himself, Jeremy. And and then there was some then people were thinking, OK, does he have two idols now? But it did get people to stop looking for the idol.
Yeah, but didn't Davey continue to look for it?
Davey did continue to look for it. And so
everybody else stopped.
Yeah, everybody else did stop. So
I guess that's a good move.
Yeah, that part was good. But then when he didn't tell Davey that he did it, that made Davey want to vote him out.
Yeah.
that part wasn't as good.
That part wasn't so good. I think he was on the right path. If he just said, you know, I'm going to go plant it somewhere, and then someone found it, because I guess he had all the wrappings from his first idol and everything, and yeah, it looked pretty realistic.
Why did he leave Davey out of that?
I don't know. Did he trust him enough? He must have trusted him enough to bring him in. I don't know why he didn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that they weren't necessarily on the same page, because I thought that Davey was Nick's number one guy.
He is, isn't he?
I thought that we didn't really see a lot from Nick then outside of that until the end of the episode. So I don't know if, what exactly Nick was thinking, or maybe Nick was getting closer with Mike and Angelina at that point.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a good question in terms of what Nick is doing. Now, the Davids, you know, we're seeing them talking about voting against each other. You know, Jeremy, in the second chances, you know, you and Spencer and Tasha seemed so tight, and there was no talk of, you know, the three of you that I can remember turning against each other. Like, how do you create that where you feel like, okay, well, this is our three, and let's not screw it up?
I don't agree with that, because at one point when Spencer went after, I think it was when Spencer went after, I don't even know, it might've been Fishback. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, you don't think this is going to mess up the numbers? So like I was so comfortable with it, the game moving so much, mm-hmm, and jumping from alliance to alliance, that I didn't really think, just because he went against what I thought, or he blindsided me. Mm-hmm. As long as I didn't go home, I was all right to work with him the next day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the difference in, I think that's a difference in newbie seasons against, you know, an all-star season. I think people, when you come back, I think you're ready and willing to just go with anybody at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've talked a lot about there being voting blocks in this season, and that was something that Steven certainly talked about when you guys played together. Is that how you see what's going on here?
I mean, that's how I would figure it. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't really know what this is, because it doesn't seem like that when Steven talked about voting blocks in your season, I felt like that it was like, okay, well, you know that, okay, these three, you know, the witches are together, and then these two are together, and these two are together, and, you know, and then like these little groups of people are coming together. And then, so maybe, you know, let's have these two over here for this vote, then plus these two and these three. Mm-hmm. But it really feels like that it's more fluid than that, where any given group of people could come together for any vote in this season.
Yeah.
So I feel like some people are like, I mean, I think Nick, he had this every named alliance that he yes. had, every group.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I think there's, I don't think that everybody was playing like that, but I think there's some people were playing more in a voting block. I think it seems like Nick and some of Christian's strategy was a lot of the voting block, and even maybe Davey. So maybe the Davids were more on that mindset than the Goliaths, but it seems like, because it seems like they switched a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Even Gabby switch.
Yeah. When Gabby went after Christian last week, Val, was that a good move?
I think she could have waited to do it, but I think at some point it was just getting to the point that they had to get Christian out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she I think she just told too many people and kind of just got a little bit more emotional about it. And that's what I think she could have pulled it off. I think that she just got a little ahead of herself with it.
Yeah.
So let's walk through this. So if she waited, you know, one more round and say, who would have gone home?
Maybe Allison.
All right. So say Allison goes home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tries to do it the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have the numbers?
I think she would, because what are these Goliaths going to, you know, if there's three Goliaths that are left at that point, and then her, then she could vote against Christian. Now, he would have his idol still his potentially. Idol.
Yeah.
But, you know, that, you know, he had his idol at eight, you know, maybe that he's more likely to play it at seven because it's one round closer. But, you know, you're still trying to blindside him with an idol at some point, and I guess he's less likely to see it coming. But
yeah,
it also didn't work.
Maybe he was he thought they were coming after him, and he played his idol and he didn't need it. And then the next round he's, you know, naked mm-hmm. without the idol, and then you get him then.
Yeah,
I just think she depended so much on Christian to be her mouthpiece for so much of it that her alliances were a lot based on her connection with him. So she needed to establish more of a connection with Davey and Nick, because everyone turned on her when she started to do it. So I think that she just didn't have anyone's real loyalty over Christian to pull it off.
Yeah.
But had she waited, you know, one or two more times, then she would have, I think she would have been okay, because they wanted him out.
Yeah. And I don't like to be super results oriented, but when we take a look at, like, we were at nine and these are the two that flipped against Carl. And now in back-to-back episodes, they were the two people that flipped against Carl have gone out. We talk so much about, like, big moves, but sometimes, you know, it seems in these seasons it's like you're seen as the person who makes the move and then you go out next.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword with this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like everybody's like, oh, I need the move. I got to put it on my resume so I get credit for it. And then you make a move and everyone's like, oh, vote that person out. They just made a move.
And that's different from a second chance, because once you make a big move, then people like gravitate towards you and want to work with you.
Mm-hmm. So why? What is the difference? Is it that people are now too caught up in, oh, okay, well, this person will win because they have a big move on their belt?
On their resume? Yeah, yeah. Maybe. All right, maybe that might be. Please don't tell me the game is changing again.
I mean, I think it's always changing and every group is different. But no, it's just funny to see how this, has worked out, you know, it seemingly in these last couple of seasons. Really, I guess going back to, I think Millennials versus Gen X had a lot of this where, you know, it's like, OK, let me go ahead and get this person out. And then if you're the person who is seen as the architect of that move, then people come for you.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we have somebody like Mike now, who is the person who, in my mind, put this move together. Does that mean that he's the next person to go out?
He's the next one going home, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny because I was watching it and it's funny when you win immunity, you get like a sense of power and you mm-hmm. want to do something with it. And you're like, instead of just relaxing and just letting the game still flow as it usually goes. And you could see him, like, he was hungry with power. And I remember Spencer one time, he was hungry with power one day. And I was like, yo, like, what? Yo, chill out. And then he wouldn't even like worry about what was going on. And I was like, I said to him, like, yo, one of us are going home. Like, you can't just lay back and go to sleep. You know, we got to still play this game just because you're safe for tonight.
Yeah,
I see a lot of that. I see you get power hungry and you want to make a move when you get, you know, when you win your immunity.
Yeah. And Mike has been very under the radar, but now here he is at the final six. Val, do you feel like that Mike could win?
No.
Why?
I don't think that he has the relationships. I don't think that he's really necessarily made any big moves. I think that he you know, him winning immunity gave him the opportunity to try that, and it didn't work. And I don't, I just don't see him as a player that somebody is going to, who's taking him to the end.
Yeah.
He's rich, isn't he? Isn't he like a famous guy or something?
Yes. He's a writer. He's, you know, done a bunch of stuff and, you know, wrote movies and directed movies and done stuff on TV. So he has an extensive, you know, resume slash IMDb.
Everybody knows that?
I think so. I mean, that Nick has that, you know, alliance with him with the rock stars that from like the School of Rock movie. And then also, and also that Christian talked about how he's a, you know, professional actor. So why are we believing him? But okay. I don't know. I kind of feel like that the only thing that might be holding him back is if people look at him as like being a super successful guy, do they want to vote for him to win?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think if I would, like, if I'm on a jury and there's a super like successful, like an actor or an athlete or something that,
well, I guess so. Like, maybe this isn't the best example, but you played with John Rocker, and mm-hmm. I don't know how much money John Rocker actually has, but if at this point, but you know, if he got to the end, like, could you vote for somebody who has been, yeah.
I think I could.
Yeah, I don't think the money. I don't think that. I just don't see. I mean, if that was the case, then someone could take him to the end saying, you know what, they're not going to vote for him. They're going to vote for me because he's well off in theory. But I don't think, I just don't see his alliances with people taking him to the end. I think a sleeper person is Kara, though.
She is a sleeper. Yes.
I think Kara is a sleeper. And I'm waiting for, I mean, so Dave, this is why I like the editing, because typically I feel like usually it starts to be pretty streamlined at some point. And kudos to Survivor for stepping it up, because I don't feel like there's been so many winners edits. I feel like it's still a watcher's guess at how this can turn out, and I don't feel like it's always been like that in the past few seasons. So Kara's somebody that's kind of, she stayed loyal, and people are loyal to her.
Mm-hmm. Right. People seem to tell her things. Nobody seems to be mad at her. Nobody's writing her name down, and she's been, yeah. You know, as we're talking about a sleeper. Does she need to wake up to win, or could she just get to the end and people say, hey, we liked you, and then they'll vote for her?
That could work. If she gets to the end with Angelina and say, like, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I feel like that's Michelle. I mean, I know, you know, Michelle is very likable. Mm-hmm. You know, I would, no, obviously I didn't play with her, but just overall, I love Michelle. Mm-hmm. And I think that Kara might be that person.
Yeah.
She could be. She did win immunity here down the stretch. And the thing with Kara, and I see from people, like, you know, I'll get like tweets or comments like, Rob, what do you have against Kara? You never talk about her. And I don't have anything against her. I just don't see a ton on the show of what she's doing. And so I totally understand that she's well liked and that people seem to, you know, share information with her, and she seems to be in the know on stuff. But when it comes to the actual plans that are coming together in terms of what happens on the vote, I rarely hear her voice in what's coming together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is that sometimes strategy, right? You have all these other big personalities and
just let everybody else,
yeah,
eat each other, and you just be the last one standing.
Sometimes, I mean, I feel like that's chess. You have to, yeah, know when to, I mean, I work with all men. There's in type A personalities, there's a whole lot of egos, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's times and situations where I know exactly how I need to handle a situation, and I allow them to do what they want to do until they can't get to a point where my voice is needed, or, you know. And I think that's, for me, I feel like that's smart. And I feel like that Kara might be playing that same. She's built loyalty. She's built trust. Right. So who's going to be on the jury and say anything really negative about her?
Right. And that is definitely a smart way to play. I guess what I would want to see then is more of her saying that that is what she's doing. And maybe it's in the secret scenes. And I have to be honest, I have not gone through them with a fine tooth comb. Maybe it's there. But I wish that the show would give that to us and we have a little bit of a better understanding of where she's coming from. If that's what she's doing. Otherwise, we're just guessing.
Yeah. And then I look at Allison and I say, well, Allison has kind of been the underdog. Everybody loves the underdog and she's made it through. So then this is why I'm loving how the season's been edited, because I feel like a little bit like I have a split personality when I think of who's going to win. And I'm secretly voting for, you know, rooting for a couple people because of underdog, because of maybe the Kara's characteristics in the game. And then I like Davey as well.
Yeah. Davey got to play that game last night where he had the opportunity to go and increase how many rounds his idol could work. Jeremy, did you feel like that he made the right call to not go double or nothing?
Okay, so I just need to get it straight. So if he played the first round and lost, would he still have his idol and to play that night?
So I think that the way it would work would, I think this is what happened to Chris Noble also. So he would still have the idol, but he wouldn't have a vote anymore.
Okay. Then I would just play it then. Why not?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be safe no matter what. So
yeah,
I guess that he felt like at that point in time that he was going to make this vote against Nick and he needed four votes to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. But if he, okay, so if he needed the vote against Nick, like I'm gonna have to run all the names and scenarios, but
through the computer,
couldn't he play his idol on, I guess if you don't have a vote, I guess you're gonna play it on yourself anyways, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you say that instead of like figure out where the other side is going with their vote and then play the idol on the person. Well, that's
risky.
That's a risky
dicey
shot.
Yeah, it's dicey.
I guess that's how you win.
Coming after you. Yeah.
So take that risky shot.
I would have played at least once.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at it when he was on and I was like, oh, I would go the front. The front left and then the back right. You know, like I already knew.
You already had it mapped out which ones.
It mapped out.
So if you got it once, would you hit again?
I definitely would have. I definitely would.
Because you're hot.
Yeah. You can't quit now. You're in it.
He's in 8 fantasy football leagues. Remember this.
Yeah, I'm well aware of it tonight, Val.
And by the way, live scoring update, straight cash only 27.6. Bad juju for you.
Hey,
zero.
Look, I am the ultimate jinx because I texted Jeremy earlier today, like, hey, are you still good to do the podcast tonight? And I said, or are you going to be too upset when Keenan Allen is going nuts? And of course, I knew instantly that that would be the kiss of death for Keenan Allen tonight.
I love it. I love it. Keenan Allen's gonna. I just want Keenan Allen to go down with a hamstring injury.
Yeah. Well, too bad it was a hip injury, Jeremy. So
was it a hip or was it a shoulder?
I thought it was his hip. But hey, look, you're laughing now, but you know I can use my powers against you, like I did in the last Super Bowl when the Patriots had the ball, and I tweeted out, "Oh, Tom Brady is definitely getting the touchdown right now. Watch this!" Right before the fumble, and the Eagles won. So,
all right. I'll leave it alone. And listen, I'm not going to say anything. Just don't say anything about Saquon Barkley because I have him in like two or three other leagues and I need him to do really well. So just don't jinx him, please.
Okay.
Like, please.
All right. I won't say anything about him or anything going on there. I think that Allison seems like she has a good knowledge of the game, but I feel like that we just haven't seen a ton from her. They talk about her like she's a big threat. You know, she seems like that she's been in the middle of everything, but we just haven't seen any of the plans that she's come up with come together.
I know. I mean, they keep talking about her being a threat and they want to get at her, but it never manifests. So who's really loyal to her that she's still staying in it?
Well, I feel like that Mike and she have something, because that we saw Kara go to Allison, but then Allison went right to Mike. And I felt like that Mike and Allison were really, you know, talking back and forth about what the right move to make was. So I do think that she has a tight ally in Mike and a tight ally in Kara.
But why is she such a big threat? What is she doing that she's such a big threat?
I feel like I'm missing.
Yeah, I don't know. I she doesn't seem to be getting on anybody's nerves too much, and she's been.
That's what Kara's doing. Kara's the same way.
I don't know, but Kara has been under the radar where nobody's talking about her. So whatever Kara is doing, she's doing something right that nobody's coming to get her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Val, I know that you are an avid restaurant reviewer. What have you thought about some of the restaurants that they've gone to on Survivor this season, like the Bula Burger Bar?
I think all the food looks nasty. I think all of the food looks absolutely nasty. And
they said the Fiji pizza is horrible.
I know, it was Brett that told us.
Brett said he talks about that a lot.
Give it back.
Yeah, I think all the food looks nasty. I wouldn't eat anything.
Nothing?
Come on, you're going to be starving out there.
Me? What? I would.
But just you're going to be hungry, Val. I know you're crazy.
Well, look at them. They're all throwing up. They're overeating every single time.
So that's the thing.
I mean, I never made it that far, so I can't talk. But it does nothing. Looks appetizing to me at all.
Not even those nachos that they got a couple of weeks ago.
Disgusting. There's nothing. I mean, this is not. There's no food porn happening on.
That's not what you. She said. If you said, "What about the kale salad that they ate the other day?" She'd be like, "Ooh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good."
Said, that was what made them sick when they ate the salads and the wraps.
It's the romaine lettuce out in California.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Okay, so all right, Val does not want any of the food rewards in Fiji.
I think that they're eating too much, and they need to. I don't know. They need to slow it down.
Oh, the survivors are getting too much food.
They're getting a lot of food, don't you think?
I don't know. Well, they had to negotiate for more rice, so I guess they must be hungry.
They're eating good.
Because they're eating too good. Yeah. They don't seem to lose as much weight as they used to.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
I don't know.
In Fiji, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They look, they're looking dirty and everything, but they don't look as malnourished. they're not losing, 35 pounds like Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly Wentworth lost 35 pounds?
Something like that. It was something ridiculous like that. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. I want to bring in some questions that I have from the listeners of the podcast. Let's see. Edward Morris wants to know, did Jeremy and Steven's alliance have a name? And if not, what would it be?
We did not have a name, but what would our alliance name be? Oh God!
Just think about that.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
Yeah, do you feel like that is Nick onto something with naming these alliances? Because you have to name all these fantasy football teams, or are you just a straight cash homie in every league?
I'm straight cash homie in I want to say six or seven of the eight. I know I'm sole survivor in one with SOUL,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I think I might be. I might have one other one. I can't remember, but most of them straight cash owe me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not big into the name. And I know in the second season, Second Chance, we did have Tasha was coming up with names for, it was like, I'm not even gonna remember who it was. I know it was me, Tosh. Maybe it was Spencer and no, it was me, Tosh. Fishback and Sierra, maybe.
Okay.
And I can't remember what the nickname was, but we had some nickname and everything, and like fire, water, like I don't know.
I mean, what's the point of naming them?
It's supposed to bring you together, to make you feel like you're together. Listen, if someone feels like that makes you feel tighter, then by all means, I'll name it. But I don't think it brings you any closer. I don't feel like any more of a bond than anything else. I always feel like everybody's after me. Like I'm paranoid as it is. So I don't ever feel like, you know, I'm safe with, except for when Kimmy, I was like, Kimmy's not coming after me. Like, relax, guys.
Why did you have a nickname with your alliance with Kimmy? No. Is that why you felt safe?
Juicy J. It was just us and Juicy J.
The chicken. Yeah, I wonder, maybe like if you're feeling paranoid, you could just like go up to people like, hey, quick, let's come up with a name for our alliance. Let's put a name on it. And if the other person's like, ah, no, we don't need it. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow we'll come up with a name. But like if they care about it, it's like a relationship, right? If they're
it's like
invested.
A handshake.
It's like if they're like, oh, no, it can't be that. It can't be that. It has to be something good. Yeah, that you could test like how much they are invested in having a good name for the alliance.
My problem is I will be out there and I'll have all these different names for everybody and then I'll forget them and I'm losing my mind. I'm
trying to wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Now, for Nick and Davey, I mean, what would be the plan for them? If you could come in and coach them like Cochran did a couple seasons ago for Nick and Davey, what would be the plan?
Who is it? So Mike is coming after. Who did Mike go after? Mike just went after.
Well, Mike just that. We saw Christian get voted out by five people, or it was a split vote where three people voted for Christian, but then two people voted for, I guess, Davey.
Okay, so I go, I take Nick.
And Allison, too, right?
Yeah, and then Davey and Christian voted for Allison.
I take Nick and I say, we have to go talk to Mike together. And we meet in the back of the woods and say, listen, there's going to be an all-girl alliance.
Uh-oh.
If one of us are gone, they're going to take over, and there's going to be three women in the final tribal.
Mm-hmm. That's a good plan.
The women could vote out Mike at the final four. Now, does the fire making change any of that equation? Because if you have a three, that's great, but it's almost like you need a four now.
Yes, so, but I mean, if Mike is down for that, and Mike might say like, I'm willing to go to the end with the girls, you know, like and battle out in a fire making challenge. Mm-hmm. He might be down for that, but like, does he want to put all his eggs into that basket? He has a better shot at it if it's more of us together. And what, you stick with me, Mike, and you're going to the end.
Yeah,
you know? We'll take out one of these girls next round and. And let's keep moving.
I don't think that's a great deal for Mike. I feel like that he's better off on the other side.
No, I agree. I think it's a good thought, but you know, to the whole woman alliance as a scare tactic, but I still think he'd be better off sticking with Allison.
But he still has to make, he's not going to, the girls are going to go to the end. He has to win in the fire making challenge. If you go with me, Mike, you don't have to win in the fire making challenge. Mm-hmm. You're gonna go there. We knock one of those girls out, you're all set. You don't even, you could just lay back and we're going, you're gonna be in on day 39.
Yeah.
I mean, are Nick and Davey able to come back from their flop, their betrayal of each other?
I think so. I mean, they've been flipping and flopping all season, you know, like it's been moving. The game's been pretty fluid.
But Nick didn't know that Davey was trying to get him out.
But he didn't.
But he was trying.
He could always go and say, I didn't say that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't write your name down. Even if I did say it, I was lying to him and I did not write your name down. Like, I got your back.
Yeah. You could say that Mike was just, he was trying to see him test Mike's loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think these guys are in a lot of hot water.
You don't think so? You think they're in trouble?
I really just feel like that they're gonna, you know, one of them is gonna get taken out next. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're both like gunning after the other one. And I think whoever is left then is gonna get voted out at five. And I think it's just for that, you know, for them, I think the plan is just, you know, immunities and find yeah. idols and then make a own. Fire.
Oh man, ugh, that's a tough way to win, man.
Yeah, It's like my road through the fantasy playoffs. It's dicey.
Listen, it's still, listen, that plan can work. Your road to the fantasy playoffs is over.
Oh, all right. Well, mark that down, everybody.
No, don't mark it down. Don't mark it down. I take that back. I'm not ready to say talk trash about that yet. Like, not yet.
Yeah. Now, this is a question that people flagged about how Davey Rickenbacker in his bio that he mentioned Jeremy. Do you know about this?
I do know about this.
Yes. So they asked Davey, which Survivor contestant are you most like? He said, Jeremy Collins. He was genuinely a good guy that knew when to speak and when to observe. That's my Obama, he said.
Yeah, he did say that.
Where is Davey?
He actually told me that he when he got on and after the season and everything and we friend each other on social media, and he said that he's like, you are my Obama. And he said, I would say your name every chance I got on my walks.
I'm yeah.
Like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Stroke your ego.
That's it. Just stroke it. That's
just
all
stroke
I need.
The ego.
Yeah, and Wendell also spoke very highly of you in his bio to get on the show. I mean, is that a nice feeling that you have these guys coming on
Rob,
to the show?
That's a woman fuzzy.
Yeah.
Rob, I mean, listen, they're only human. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They see who I am. They know what I'm all about.
No, they're saying your name over and over again. And this is huge.
Now this, it is good. It does feel good. I mean, I like that. I like how I came across on my season and everything. And I like that I made a difference to these other guys trying to get on, you know what I mean? And something to look forward to. It's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. All I've got is, you know, Steven Fishback saying like, oh, I would play like Rob, but I would win. I mean, this is a very nice compliment to get. this was from Jen Manning who wrote in that question. She asked, should we start calling you the Survivor president? No, you would not like that.
No,
right?
No, because we already know who the president is right now. And
okay, you don't want to be Survivor president. And Jen also said, Val, my offer is still on the table if you guys need a babysitter.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
These kids, we have a couple little savages.
Hey, she better think about that. Jen, you better think about that.
You might want to watch the dash cam.
Michael Clark says, Jeremy, was part of you okay with seeing Jeremy from this season crash and burn, knowing you would still hold the belt for best Jeremy C to play Survivor?
I was so disappointed in Jeremy. I was so disappointed in him.
Why?
Because, like, listen. Like, especially in this climate, I don't even know. Like, I don't want to get political and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But
with this president, what he's doing, and he's just causing like friction between so many people and stuff.
I completely disagree about this. He could not have saved Natalie. She was a hot mess.
Oh, well, listen. All right.
And he tried. So he owes her no responsibility.
Okay, so let me None. Roll back. Let me roll back, because I asked. I went and we were on social media going back and forth, and I'm like why
Who
can't
was?
You just? I was going back with Jeremy.
Oh,
and
I didn't
Natalie.
Know this. Okay,
yeah, and I was like, you. Why couldn't you guys just work this out? You know what I mean? You guys are over there fighting. Like, you couldn't just work this out. I said, look at the other Jeremy and Natalie. Look what happened. You know what I mean? Like, you had a good blueprint. You know what I mean? And Jeremy was like real defensive and this and that and going on and on and on. And I was like, yo, listen, it's not that serious. Like, I wasn't there. I know there's things going behind the scenes, but like, whatever. Like, if you got a different story, that's fine. Whatever. You know, I'm just giving you my opinion. And then Natalie hit me up and she was like giving me like a thoughtful reason what was going on. And I was like, wow, like, she looked crazy out there,
mm-hmm.
but at least she had a plan. And, you know, she said that certain things were happening, that she couldn't work with them and this and that. And I'm like, at least she's honest with it. And this guy's like, he's just, I don't know. He kind of rubbed me the wrong way, the way he was coming back and forth with me about it.
Val, what do you think about this? You said that
I think Jeremy watches too much. like politics overall.
This Jeremy, not that Jeremy.
Yeah, this Jeremy watches too much politics, and everything is like the world perspective.
Yes.
And Survivor, unfortunately, is falling into the world perspective. And I think that he was too hard on the other Jeremy on the fact that he knows that the game is not everything is shown, and that he did, at least on camera, try. And this is the same guy, remind you, that will sit there and talk to me about John Rocker trying. Okay. Yeah. So the fact that he has no like empathy towards Jeremy's efforts.
John Rocker tried. He just didn't try. He wasn't good at it.
John Rocker did not try at all. And he ratted me out the first second he got.
But what if you said to him, John, I don't have an idol. What would have happened? He would have definitely done something to switch it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even believe you still think this in your mind.
I really do think that.
John would really definitely do. Not do that.
Because he did not want me to come after him and Julie.
You are so delusional. You are so delusional. 4 years later, he's still delusional. Absolutely no way.
John Rocker, I want you to ask him.
I have asked him. What do you think we talked about?
What did he say?
He was not trying. He was trying to keep a target off his back because he knew everybody knew because of Wes that he played baseball. He did not care about when he was not trying.
So trying to keep a target off his back, it means you going home and then putting me on his back.
Jeremy, you gotta think that he is not even thinking that you might even make it to the merge. He's not thinking that.
Why wouldn't he not think that?
Because he knows nothing about the game.
We're not even going.
He knows nothing about the game.
We are not losing. My tribe was so good. We're not losing any challenges. You guys are always going in. So obviously, we're gonna have more people going into the merge than him.
So what? He's still not thinking that far in the game.
Yeah.
He's thinking day by day, and day by day, Val Collins was not part of his plan. He was on the all boy alliance, and that's what he was rolling with. So sorry. So back to my point, Jeremy's disillusional about it. And yeah. He has his worldview perspective between CNN and Fox News because he watches both of them because he needs to know what the other side's thinking.
That's good.
However, he treats everybody in life like they are either CNN or Fox News.
That's not true.
Yeah.
And some of us.
It's a little true, but it's
very true.
No. It's yeah, because it did seem like there was at one point where Jeremy took Natalie aside and tried to be somebody to bring her in. But that didn't seem to work. And then from that point on, there was like no getting those two back together.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happened? One of them, did Natalie say, like, can I speak to you guys without him or something like that? Like, that's terrible. That's horrible gameplay. You know what I mean? Like, the one person that's trying to tell you, like, yo, we should stick together. And now you're doing that. Like, it's horrible gameplay. But I don't know. I can't remember what we were talking about when I was talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
It was on two different things. We were going back and forth on social media.
Yeah.
And the way he was coming off, like, he was just... like really defensive and, oh, I don't need to do this. I can do this. You know, like, all right, man, like relax, dude. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
He was very salty after the show for whatever reason.
Yeah. And that's when I said, all right, I'm done with you. Like, I'll let it slide. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Now, what did you guys think about the whole situation with the jacket and with Angelina asking Natalie for her coat?
What do you mean?
When she asked her when she was leaving?
Yeah.
What is she? I don't know what I don't know what Angelina's thinking. Like yeah, I have the Natalie.
Dude, that was such a great moment.
I understand Natalie because you don't know if she blindsided you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she could be lying. You don't know. She was.
I mean, she did. She voted against Lyrsa, but you know, she did that just so she could go and ask her
for
the jacket. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, she does. You know, typically have an angle, Angelina.
Yeah. So I mean, I hear her. I listen. Every time I went to tribal, even when I knew I was fine, I brought all my stuff with me because I am not going to be sitting at home watching this on TV and when I'm on the jury and you're walking around with my jacket on or my pants. Like, I'm not having that. Like, that's the last thing I want to see. So if you vote me out, I'm taking everything with me.
all my stuff.
He's taking his ball home.
Taking my ball and going home.
Do you feel like that if Natalie was on a different season, do you think it would have maybe been different, maybe with no Jeremy there?
I don't know. No, she's tough. She was tough out there. You know, you can't change a leopard spots. You know what I mean? Like, she's tough.
Yeah, that's one of my dream interviews. I want to track her down next season, Natalie.
You didn't talk to her?
No, I talked to her on the exit interview, but I want to go sit down and have a long talk with her.
Have her lay on the couch and really get into it, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think that she was unhappy with the edit overall. She felt like that was not, you know, they picked a lot of not great moments from her.
Really? Because on her social media pages, like, she was really embracing this thing.
Well, I think you get in a tough spot where it's sort of like you're a big character, but maybe it's not necessarily a flattering depiction. And I think you sort of like, well, do I run with this because that, you know, people seem to like it? But I feel like that this wasn't really how I feel like it went down.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough road to try to, you know, to go down. This is a question from Survivor Power Rankings on Twitter. Would Val ever play again without Jeremy? Val, do you ever think about this? Say, okay, next time it's my turn.
I would definitely play without him. It would be so much easier to play without him.
But not as fun.
Not as fun. Probably. But now, Val, if you don't win on your second time, then are you going to hear the end of it?
What do you mean if I don't win?
If you didn't win, because I won the second time I played.
You know what? I couldn't go into the game comparing myself to Jeremy or even comparing myself to.
I mean, who could? I mean, who can? You know what I mean? I'm just going, go.
Enough. I don't think I would hear. I don't think that he would be hard about it if I didn't make it win. You know, I would probably be hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, like,
but I just think you can't even go into. I mean, I think you have to go in thinking you're going to win. But I think the second time you go in, I'd be a lot looser. I was wound so tight, and I was not able to be really fluid or flexible. I spent so much time thinking about what we talked about the short time we got to talk, and it was awful.
No, I think if she played, I think she would do a really good. Good job, and she would play a lot better without me. I always said when we were first getting on, I actually went to casting with my brother because I didn't want to take Val because mm-hmm. I said I've been trying to get on this show for so long. Why would I take someone that will beat me? So like I think she would do a really good job. I think she's better than me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's quicker. And she'll recognize like the police in her, you know, mm-hmm. she'll recognize what's going on when me, you know, I'm like,
everybody likes me. Everybody loves me. No. Kimmy's not after me.
I slept on that, but it, like, I really, so I know, when Kimmy went after me, I thought it was either Spencer or Tasha. I was like, which one of y'all voted for me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not about everybody likes me. I know y'all are after me, but which one of y'all did it? Because Kimmy didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Val would have said, oh, Kimmy's after you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. she would have picked that right out. Well,
Val, we've seen Tony win as a police officer, and then Sarah came back and then she won as a police officer. So I do think that there is a track record. So I'm just trying to think. So
they played loose. That was they played like they should have played. They didn't play like cops.
Mm.
And that's what you would have done, right? The second time you go back?
Second time I can't play like a cop. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, did you know that this is Sergeant Collins right now?
Oh, Sergeant Collins. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think in terms of like firefighter wins versus police officer wins.
I think we just have two, right?
Tom Westman, right?
Yeah.
And yourself. So is it best three out of five?
So is it just Tony and Lucina?
I got in trouble with this because I was talking. I talked to Sandra recently, and she said no lawyer has ever won the game, right? And I was like, Yeah, that sounds right. And then people, I was getting like a whole list of people. Yeah.
Wendell's a lawyer.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, well, he's not practicing lawyer. He went to law school. Yule and Cochran went to law school. So, yeah. So I get it wrong. I don't have all the facts in front of me. So I don't necessarily want to, but I feel off the top of my head, it feels like that two firefighters and two police officers.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Okay.
You know what I want to see? I want to see, them play, have tribes based on like locations, like East Coast, West Coast, and maybe
East Coast will win.
Midwest,
East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. And then do you feel like that?
Or Southern.
Yeah. You could do four tribes.
Yeah. That'd be
the Southern, outstanding. The South will get wrecked. It will get wrecked. In the Midwest, they have no
shot. But who knows? The East Coast could destroy each other.
I don't know. We'll bond together, though. We'll be all right. And then we'll just eat each other.
Unless it's Boston versus New York.
Well, maybe in that East Coast tribe that you could have people from Boston and New York, and then they would fight within that tribe.
Yeah,
that would be an amazing season.
Yeah. when you guys played together in the Blood versus Water season, when you guys got called out together, and it seemed like that you guys were not necessarily on the same page when Jeff brought you guys out. Like it felt like that you guys were almost like competing against each other in that first challenge, and I didn't really get that until I got to know Val a little bit better and realized how competitive Val is.
Well, are you competitive, Val?
I'm very competitive.
Yes.
You're big.
Yes.
I mean, and it's the whole thing. It's like police versus fire. This is the added bonus that we have, that one of us is going to get basically dogged back at work about losing to the other profession. So,
and it's so much worse for me at the fire department to lose to you than the police department. That's so not, much work. Oh my God.
That's
so
not, why?
That's the not fire, even true.
The firefighters are relentless. They are horrible people. I'm trying to tell you.
Who's horrible people? The fire department?
Oh, we will rip each other to shreds. It's ugly. I mean, we love it. You know, we do it and we laugh at each other and stuff. But I'm telling you, I went and I won Survivor. I won $1 million. And do you know how many firefighters clown me for crying on national TV?
Why? When Val came?
Yes.
And said that you guys were having a boy?
Listen, they're relentless, bro.
That's what they're making fun of you for?
Oh, my God. You crying on national TV? You big baby.
Like, yo, that's brutal.
I'm like, you know I won? So what? You cried. I'm like, oh, my God. You cry, baby.
But the police are the same exact way, especially losing to a firefighter. They're like, are you let the firefighter win? I mean, they hardly work. They work like 2 days a week. And the one day that they worked, he beat you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know that is true because my dad was a police officer. And I know that if they had like, you know, police versus firefighters softball game or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Connor has a question. Who from this season is most definitely a Scorpio, Jeremy? Can your Scorpio radar tell us?
I'd say Natalie.
Interesting. Now I don't have this information in front of me, so I can't tell you the answers to this question.
Wasn't she at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
I'd have to like look everybody up on Facebook.
Oh, we got to find out.
But
so, I see Angelina too.
Who do you think? Angelina, you think is a Scorpio?
I think she's a Scorpio.
Okay. Let me see. This is not easy to figure out.
She's not a Scorpio. She's a Gemini.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the other day, but her birthday is in July. So no, not a Scorpio.
She's a Cancer.
So this would have been a better game if I would have had everybody's actual birthday, but they don't have that information. Sorry. Graham Gates wants to know, how loud were the screams you guys made when the Dolphins scored that last touchdown?
Oh my gosh. I was so heated. I just got over it.
It wasn't even like that. It was more like, I can't believe this. Can you believe what just happened? And then the TV goes off and then we just walk out. Like,
we dropped the mic.
It was just anger. Like, I was just in disgust.
You were watching that game at your house?
Yeah.
And then you just walked out of the room?
The thing is, like, I went to the Miami game last year when they're down there. We didn't win in Miami. So, like,
guys trip.
Yeah. That was fun.
Remember that, Rob?
I remember.
That guys trip?
I remember.
That was a good time.
Wow, man. Jeremy's lucky. He goes on a guys trip.
Right?
Listen, Rob, I've been on one guys trip in I don't even know how long. When was the last guys trip I've gone on?
Okay. He doesn't think going to play poker with Tyson.
Yeah, that's work.
Thank you.
That's absolutely not work.
That's work.
And he's gone two or three times.
That was a business trip.
Yeah.
Didn't look like a business trip to me on Snapchat.
And it can't be a guy trip because we were hanging with Kim.
And Kim. Yeah, that's right.
Ridiculous. You guys are absolutely ridiculous. And fun. Jeremy uses all these little, I'm just going to do this charity event and I'm going to in Vegas twice.
Yeah, I'm just trying to bring home some bacon. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Boston Rob, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, a work trip. Come on.
The ultimate guys trip.
Do it.
Jeremy, come on, Val. Let him go on this next business trip.
By the way, I love the fact that you have a Red Sox hat.
No, Tyson sent that to me. I couldn't figure out where that came from. I just got a Red Sox hat in the mail, and I was like, who sent this to me? And Tyson was like, oh, I did. Because we were going to Reno, and Tyson was going to take over the CBS Instagram, and we were like working out like skits that we were going to do. And then he was going to say, I was going to do Boston Rob, but we'll have the Boston Rob hat on and say, hey, don't forget to watch Survivor tonight.
Did you ever do it?
We didn't do it on the Instagram. We did it. We did it we were playing in a charity poker game in Reno, and we were doing it there. But Rob doesn't like it when I do that.
No, try not to. Why not?
Doesn't like it.
That's flattery. I love that.
Yeah.
And straight comedy.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah. I don't know. So you were watching the game and what happened? And then you got so mad you just walked out of the room?
Just leave. You can't even it's disgust. That's what it is.
Rob, what's your favorite football team?
The Jets.
Giants. Oh, the Giants. Gosh.
No, I don't like the Giants.
Oh, I thought it was the Jets.
I
thought it was like Saquon Barkley. That's why you were talking about Saquon Barkley.
No, because he's on my fantasy team that's going up against you.
The Jets?
Yeah, what do you want from me?
That's like a Pop Warner football team.
All right, Val, I don't need this bullying right now, okay?
You must know how this feels, but you don't. You don't know how we
feel. I don't know how you feel, okay?
He definitely knows how that feels. The Jets are terrible.
Horrible.
Look, Val, what do you want me to do? Be a traitor and try and root for a different team?
I just expected better decisions when it came to the NFL.
What's decision? My father said this is who we like, and that's and that was it. There was no decision.
I guess you can't make that decision when you're young. You know.
Yeah, just like my kids don't have a decision.
When you're young and your parent puts a jersey on you, but you can make the decision as an adult, and especially someone that plays fantasy football, that is not a good team to root for.
Yeah, but fantasy football has nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he's paying attention to football. It's not like he's obsolete to the game and the fact that the Jets sell their tickets sometimes for $10. Absolutely more than a playoff game in high school.
That's a ripoff to pay $10.
Yeah. We are so spoiled because I don't know what we would do if we were you guys.
We were looking and we were like, they had it up that Jordan was born in 2000. Our oldest daughter was born in 2002. And how many Boston championships they've had between.
Yeah.
In every single sport.
Yeah, you don't have enough room at the airport. I went through the terminal and they were hanging up all the banners and they need to build a bigger terminal. This is a question from Justin Feinberg. What's worse, the target that Nick put on his own back by finding his own fake idol in front of people, or the angle that Rob Gronkowski took when he tried to tackle Kenyon Drake on the last line of the defense?
Yeah, these guys. All right.
Gronk's angle.
Listen, this is a Survivor podcast. Enough with daggers about the Patriots. What's with these questions?
They hate us because they hate us.
I know. That was a bad angle.
Oh. I'm just glad Gronk's playing a little bit. I mean, we won't have him to the end. He gets hurt too much. I think he's done.
Okay. Felipe Shimon wants to know, what are your favorite flavors of coffee creamer?
Huh?
You got to listen to Bryce on the last podcast.
He did
20 minutes talking about how he's drinking the coffee creamer that belongs to somebody else at his office.
Bryce is so funny.
I missed that part.
I was listening to Bryce talking about his running game and his
yeah.
I must have missed that.
Southern Pecan. He says that the creamer company is sending him free bottles now.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
That's what you need to get. Yeah, I don't drink coffee, but Val's all about that.
Well, next, next time you come on the podcast, you got to start talking about some some product.
I know that's what we need to do. Like, what is going on? Yeah. Oh, so get this right. So last time, I don't even know if you want this to be out there, but last time we were on the show with you, and you sent some cookies.
Oh yeah,
and a little while ago, we got a package in the mail of cookies and stuff and brownies and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that must be Rob. You know, like Rob sent a cookies. But it was Savage. Savage sent us sent Val a congratulations Sergeant gift package. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
So I was like, and I was thinking like, it's like Miss, what is it? Miss,
it was Mrs. Fields.
Mrs. Fields. Yeah.
Oh, Mrs. Fields could send me some stuff right now. I'll Mrs. Fields all day.
They were good.
Yeah,
that's good. And you went and did we talk about this on the podcast last time? I think you were going to go do this, but you went and you stayed at Savage's house, and then while you got your eye surgery, right?
Yeah, I was there for a week.
Yeah,
I was there for a week, and then when I had to go back to do the follow up, and Val came up with me, and we were there for like 2 or 3 days the second time. Yeah, dude. Savage is a good dude, man.
Yeah, what do you do when you hang out with Savage?
Walk through Glenwood.
Yeah, we drink wine and walk through the streets.
The streets.
His neighborhood is so nice, right? And it's so different because every house is completely different from the one next to it. You know what I mean? And that's like the magic of, what is it? Glen Cove or whatever he lives in, you know what I mean? And we just walk around and look at all the architecture. And
Val, this sounds like a fake story.
It's a real story. And then we go back and we sit by the fire. And
this is like a cover story. Did you guys like go down to like Tijuana or something? It doesn't sound like a real story.
No, it's there. We walk around. We drink wine. We just enjoy their company. They enjoy
it's
our
just,
company.
It's just chill, fun man. Yeah. He was trying to get us tickets to go to the Golden State Warriors game and stuff, but we couldn't get it. But yeah, we just go and just hang out. It's just good to just sit down and talk and just relax, you know. Listen, we have four kids.
Yeah, that's nice. I guess.
We're easy to please. We're a cheap date. Yeah. You can fix me grilled cheese, and if I can eat the whole grilled cheese without interruption, I'm happy.
and how's everybody doing? The boys are doing good?
Oh, they're awesome. They're crazy, man. Yeah. Crazy. I wish you told me how crazy the boys were. I blame you for all this.
I was trying to. Yeah.
They are good, man. The kids are awesome.
Yeah.
The girls are playing their sports and doing well and everything. And
yeah. And now and I see the posts on social media that is Jordan is going to be going to college soon.
No, she's only a sophomore.
Oh, okay. You guys are just going to different athletic competitions, right?
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, she was in, she had a tournament in North Carolina. So, we took everybody up. We took my other daughter with us and left the boys at home, and we went out there and we were just going around checking out schools and everything and just to see what she would, you know, just to give her a first hand look at different size colleges and what she might want to be. Does she want to be up in the Northeast? Does she want to be in the, you know, down South? You know what? So we're just giving her like a little foot in the door to see what she's looking for. You know, she's good. She's pretty good in soccer.
Yeah. Are you guys trying to talk her into staying nearby?
No,
let her do her thing. You know, like let her go and experience the world. You know what I mean?
My wife is already like, I don't want my babies that I don't want them going anywhere.
Really? Yeah. Wait till they get a little older.
She says that she doesn't want them to ever move out either. I said, hey, listen.
Wait till they really start eating all our food.
Are they eaters? Are they big eaters, the boys?
Oh, yeah. They're big eaters and they touch everything. And this was a new one today. My younger son that I started he was like in my office touching everything. And then I started getting text messages from people. Hey, by the way, your studio is live streaming right now. I said, what? And he was, I go in there and it's just like live out. And thank God I wasn't like fighting with my wife or doing, you know, whatever.
Exposing your business.
Right. I didn't like, come out of the bathroom or anything. And I'm like live on the internet in here.
The other, which one's your oldest?
Dominic.
When you had him on the radio show the other day.
Thank you for saying that. Yes.
Yeah, that was cool, man. That was really cool.
I can't keep them out of here. I was doing a podcast the other day with somebody, and then my phone is ringing, and it's Nicole. And I said, I got to pick this up because this must be an emergency. My wife is on the phone. And I said, hello. And I don't hear anything. I'm like, hello. It's like, Dad. Like, what are you doing? He took Nicole's phone and it's like calling me in the middle of the day. I hear Nicole.
How old are they now?
They're 5 and 3.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's scary because they're starting to learn how to work all these things. It's like in Jurassic Park when they learn how to open the doorknob. Jordan writes in, who from this season uses this surround drown approach the best? Jeremy, can you explain what is surround and drown? I still don't even understand how that works.
Surround and drown, it's when there's a big fire and the fire is too big for us to go inside the building and fight it. An internal fire.
Yeah.
We just set all the hoses up on the outside. Everybody gets out of the building and we just surround it and dump as much water.
Okay. That part makes sense to me, but what about on Survivor?
So what we were doing it was Alec. Alec was really trying to go with all the couples when it was, and Nat and I we were like, listen, Alec, you can't go with the couples. You're a single now. Drew's gone. So you need to stay with us. And he wouldn't do it. So we basically, what we were saying is you go that side and you get him. And then at one point I'm going to come on this side and I'm going to get him on this side and say, listen, you got to come with us. You got to come with us. And then she's on that side and she's drowning him on that side saying, you got to come with us. You got to come with us. You got to come. But it didn't happen. The fire was too dumb.
too dumb.
These guys are so dumb.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Okay. This is from Humberto that he wants to know. He says, of the last 11 Survivor winners, 8 men, 3 women, only one of them has made it to the end without finding an advantage. And that was Michelle. And another one with an advantage, but no idol, Sarah. Does this not only make their wins more impressive, but ask the question, is it possible to win without an advantage or an idol? What can be done? And at what point does it become necessary to have one, with both Davey and Nick having found 2 items and being with a chance to win? Does the trend keep growing? Val, now you said you found multiple idols in the game, but did not. There's been a lot of talk about women finding the idols or not finding as many idols as the men. That when we talk about that, it's almost like you need to have these things to win. Is that having a big impact in terms of more men winning the game than women?
So first, I don't like the advantages. I mean, I like them at certain points of the game, but towards the end of the game, I feel like it's always a crapshoot to have the advantages, because people don't know when to play them, don't know if they should play them. And often it's like, I feel like more 50-50, even sometimes worse than statistically for them to even use them correctly. Yeah. So I don't like the advantage. I feel like, listen, we all know, like, almost immediately when the, you know, the first person is that's going to get voted out, usually the target is a woman. So I just think overall the women are,
unless you're Vetus,
are less likely.
Yeah.
Are less likely to go and try to, not that they're not looking, but I do think that they're a lot of times using a lot more of their social game initially, yeah, than going to look for the idols, because they have a target right away because of the physicality that's assumed that, mm-hmm, they would be weaker, that they have to try to work on their social game and, yeah, build the loyal teams with that before they can. Because they're not only, you know, a physical woman becomes a threat, not only to, oh, yeah, becomes a threat to the woman and to other women, which they could lose. And they're still looked at a lot of times weaker to the men. So their social game really has to kick in. I think that's what Michelle did really well, mm-hmm, throughout her game. And I think the advantages are kind of whack. I think they need to start doing a better job with some of the advantages.
Yeah, but what do you think they can do?
I don't know, but when you go back to the you know, having an idol closer to the end, I think that if, you know, it doesn't necessarily work to their advantage. I still think it's a social game, and I think the social part of it is what turns the jury anyways.
Allison or Kara is going to find an idol next episode.
Not Angelina?
No.
Because she was the one that talked about it in the first episode about the women not finding the idols. That it's,
did she?
Yeah, mm-hmm, she talked about it. I think she talked about it with Allison. So if one of them finds the idol at the end of the season, it sort of like fulfills that prophecy.
Yeah.
I think Allison. I don't even know if Kara's really looking. But I feel
we
like
don't know.
Allison's the threat. Allison's a big threat. So she's out there.
She could be. Yeah, this is interesting to sort of like tie these things together in terms of, you know, a woman being a target to go early, and then also with women not finding the idols, but also needing idols to win, you know, that I don't know which thing is, you know, the most important, but it does feel like that there is like some connectivity there. I don't know about
necessarily needing the idols at the end to win. Mm-hmm. I think that it's, they can't find, they're not looking necessarily or finding them as early on as the men, because they need to play a little bit more of a social game initially. But, mm-hmm,
do you think that if a woman is out there looking for an idol, like, is it like worse than a man out there looking for an idol?
Yes. In the game, yes. Do you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's looked at differently. You know,
it's an aggressive double standard in Survivor, yeah, as it is off the island.
You watching CNN?
Just a life.
Hey, Steven got a lot of flack from you guys for looking for the idol.
yeah, but he doesn't know how to do it right. He's like,
what does he do wrong when he goes in the water to go look for it?
The problem with Steven, when Steven's out there, is he's fidgety and nervous, and that's just how he is all the time. Mm-hmm. So out there, it just looks like he's being really sneaky and conniving. You know, it's just who he is. It's not his fault. You know what I mean?
That's just because he's the man that gives out fishes now, but really.
No, but when we were out there, I remember watching him and saying like, yeah, he looks like he's doing something. And, yeah, and knowing who he is, he's like that all the time. Like, yes, he's just, that's who he is. But out there, it's like, you don't want to.
Yeah, it's unnerving.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when you do the lie detector with somebody, you have to get the baseline. So now if enough people like knew his baseline before they played it, that's just regular Steven.
Yeah.
He's up to something.
How is Davey walking away that far away from camp and no one like questioning that this late in the game?
I don't know. It seemed like after, there was a storm and everybody was like, no, I'm just going to stay in the shelter because it's going to start raining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this one. This is a question from Vince. Did Nick make a fatal error by splitting the votes on Gabby last time instead of Allison last week? Because when they eliminated Gabby, he gave the Goliaths a majority, knowing Christian had to go sooner than later, taking out Allison, then Christian, that he would go into the final six with a 3-3 split and more options. Yeah, was that a bad idea to vote out Gabby last time? Because then now they took out another David, and then now when they lose a David this week, now they're down 4-2.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
I think that's a good point.
But you know what's weird to me is that, like, they're still talking about the Davids and Goliaths. Usually with these seasons, like, once the merge happens, all the theme of the season is kind of like done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, all right, this is my new tribe. This is my new alliance. Like, we're not going back to someone I played with on day three. You know, I played with this guy for, you know, a week. I've been playing with this guy for, you know, 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
Do you think that part of it is because the season is called David versus Goliath, and every time you go to a challenge, it's just, you know, it's a talked about all the time, and a tribal council is like, okay, it's David's, it's Goliath's, it's one David versus, you know, like in San Juan del Sur, they're not talking about like Hunapus versus Coyopas versus Bayons versus Takeos. So
what about heroes and villains and stuff? Do they do that with all the seasons? I can't really remember.
So in heroes,
they've definitely done a lot this season.
Yeah, but Heroes versus Villains, I still don't think that they talked so much about it in terms of like, okay, it's four heroes versus three villains at this point, but they didn't have a swap in that season also, so they came into the merge at being, you know, 5-5, so yeah. I do think it was, you know, a big deal, at least at the start of the merge.
I don't think it was a bad thing that he split the vote to get Gabby out, because I always think it's a good thing when someone starts to get how emotional the way she was getting, I mean, and is ready to jump ship. She's not someone that you can depend on. And she was close enough to Christian at the time that, you know, with his little Mason Dixie line that he had going with him, that getting her out could put him in a better spot with Christian if Christian were to go father. And you know what I mean? If he thought that Christian was going to stay loyal to him, taking her right, you know, might have been a better move.
Yeah.
Okay. The finale is coming up on Wednesday. Let me just get from you guys. Okay. Your official picks for the winner of the season. Okay. Val, who is going to win on Wednesday?
Well, Jeremy, you go first.
All right. I say it is Allison. Okay. Allison is going to win.
All right. Allison is the winner. Okay.
No, I don't think it's Allison. I'm glad to. I think it's going to be Kara.
Okay.
I think that final three might be Kara, Nick, and Davey.
Kara, Nick, and so I think that the Kara pick is a good one, but I don't know if she beats Nick and Davey unless those two guys split the votes.
She gets the majority.
And maybe it's like, you know, that some of the people on the jury like Nick and some like Davey, and then she steals like the Goliaths.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's could happen.
I just don't see her taking the any of the others with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, possible switch out from Davey would be that she took Allison with her. And if I think if it's Kara and Allison at the end, then it's Kara that wins over Allison.
See, I feel like if Nick or Davey is there by themselves, I think they probably win. But I haven't thought about if Nick.
Why Nick?
I think that people really like his story about how he's been, you know, comes from a very humble background, and that's been, you know, very much front and center this season. And then he's also made some really good moves. He's found idols along the way. And so I think that he's seen as somebody who's played really hard. So I think that Nick or Davey, I think that either of them alone wins, but I've never thought about if they were together with one Goliath, if maybe they might split the votes.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
Yeah. Allison, Angelina, and Mike are at the end. Or it's going to be Kara.
Yeah.
And Allison's going to be like, she's going to say, You guys, you guys have been after me all season as a threat. I am the female Christian, and I still made it to the end.
Who's that's a horrible, horrible. She something better happen than the next.
For what? If Allison wins, that's horrible.
They're all after her, though. She's doing something out there.
I just don't think that. I don't think that's the sell. She better get. She better have a better story for me if I was in the jury, because that's not. That's not getting my votes at all.
Okay. Anything else that you guys have going on that you want to tell people to check out?
What do you got?
Val, I'm still waiting for you to launch your food blog.
I'm pulling it together, Rob. I am pulling it together. I'm taste testing. I'm taking pictures, and then I'm going to take your advice, and we're going to start doing a little bit more of the videos. So we're getting there. I had my little boot camp in a brew, and I'll be giving a review on the fact that I had a Blonde Jovi and white
knuckles. Blonde Jovi.
And yes, one of their beers is called Blonde Jovi. Anyone looking to go to a nice brewery, go try the Line Cider in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. So they have Blonde Jovi, White Knuckles, and between Chair 2 and 3, which is like a beach at the, you know, for the beach, because it's close to the beach. But yes, I will be start to put stuff up. I'm just kind of getting my collection together so I can be like you.
And then you could check out Jeremy Collins in the finals of the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League. Waiting for the winner.
Nicely done, Rob. Nicely
He's
done.
Up 27-3 after Thursday night. Insurmountable lead. So
thanks a lot, Rob. You did it on purpose.
That is the kiss of death when you're up in fantasy. Anytime I'm ever like, I have a guy that goes nuts on Thursday night, like I'm like, oh, I got this one, and then
happened. Who did you have?
I had on a Thursday night one time. The Kenyon Drake went like really crazy again when I was playing Dominic, and then he had Aaron Rodgers and also one of the Packers receivers all in one night, like the two of them put up like 75 points against me.
I
was up by like 68 or something. So it's a nightmare. But anyway, Jeremy, good luck moving forward in all your leagues.
Man, that wasn't
warm and fuzzy at all.
And so I appreciate thank you guys both so much for coming on. This is very fun to get to catch up, and let me know anytime you guys want to come back or do anything, let me know.
This is fun. This is always
thanks
fun.
For having us. Okay. Say hi to Nicole.
All right, hope to see you guys again soon on one coast or the other.
Why don't you guys just have like a guy's weekend? Why don't you guys go play poker or something? Jeremy's definitely gonna go.
Man. Rob, I do want to do a run out of Reno.
All right. Yeah, we gotta work that out. You don't want to just come to my neighborhood and walk around.
if you supply the solo cup, we will come.
All right, we'll work on that. All right.
No, wait a second. Now, don't you and Dom and his wife, you guys have like couple time and everything?
They live on Long Island, so that's easy.
We don't live that far from Long Island, Rob.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we'll come back to the East Coast try to figure something out. Where will we do the show next? When me and my wife are on Long Island for 3 weeks, that's easy to do.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely meet up then.
Okay. All right. And Nicole is saying that she wants to hang out with you, Val.
Yes, you guys come over and hang up.
That might be too much. You and Nicole together, too out of control.
I think it'll be outstanding. I think me and Nicole should go on Survivor together.
Oh geez.
Oh boy. All right.
I'll think of an alliance.
An alliance name. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys both so much, and I appreciate you guys staying up late to talk to me.
Hey, thanks, Rob. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Val and Jeremy Collins here on the podcast. Very fun to catch up with them. I do enjoy talking to couples anytime I can on the podcast. That it's very fun to go through all those stuff with two people, and they get into it and talk about, ask each other questions. It's really fun for me. Anyway, so hope you guys enjoyed this one as much as I did. All right, so here's where we're going next. Mike Bloom is going to be joining me on the Survivor Feedback Show. Get your questions in for Mike Bloom if you're listening to this podcast on Friday. Going to talk with Mike on around 4 o'clock Eastern time. So even Saturday morning, you still have time to get your questions in. Rob has the website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that. You can also email questions in survivor@robhasawebsite.com. And then we've got the Wiggle Room coming up as well. We're going to be recording on Sunday night this week. So if you're going to be sending us anything to listen to for the Wiggle Room, be sure to get that into us by Sunday night. Of course, if you're doing any holiday shopping, starting to be getting close to the last minute, or if you haven't even started yet, like myself, check out our link for Amazon.com, Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And of course, thanks so much to the patrons of Rob's the Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible. Find out more about the benefits of becoming a Rob's Podcast patron in our Rob's Podcast patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for the turnaround of this one for you guys. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper, that when you nervously pick up your first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved when you rode your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions. Navigation or moonroof, that'll bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, and you can take that to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.